It's clean. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven me. But me, I have 100%. 100%. I wrong you. You could forgive me. It doesn't mean I shouldn't, the perpetrator shouldn't forget, because not forgetting makes me a more sensitive individual. All right, Tavos, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf Chof Chas, but we're going to start on Chof Zayin. So we left off Va'amrav Yehuda Amarav. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. Across from Tosos Tafuach, thank you. All right, so it says the Gemara, Va'amrav Yehuda Amarav, Kala Meskasha Amesa Yosem Idai. So the Gemara says, whoever mourns over his dead too much, Ames Acher Hu Bocha, ultimately a person will come to mourn other losses as well. So the Gemara says, Hai Isisa, Dahave Bishvivuse Di Rav Huna. There was a woman who lived in the neighborhood of Rav Huna, Havalu Shiva Bani. She had 7 sons, Meis Chad Minai, who one of them died, Hava Kabochis Biseirasa, and she was crying. She was crying. Biseirasa means she was inconsolable. She would not stop crying. Shalach Rav Huna Lo Saav Dihachi. Rav Huna said to her, "Your behavior. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this." Lo Ashkach Be. She didn't listen to him. Shalach La. He said to her, "Itzaisis Mutav. If you're going to listen to me, good. V'ilot Savis. And if you don't listen to me, to curtail your mourning just a little bit, Zavdasa Leidach. You will end up making preparations for another child." Miss, unfortunately, again, she endured another loss. Umisu kulhu. And at the end of the day, she lost all of her children. The excessive mourning, the Gemara understands, led to the loss of all of her children. Lesof amrla, timush zavdasal and avsheikh. Then he said to her, if you keep mourning, you'll end up having to make preparations for yourself, meaning you'll have to prepare your own burial shroud. Umisa. And at the end of the day, she died. Al tifku lemeis v'al tanudulo, al tifku lemeis yosrem idai. So we've dashed in that pasuk to mean, don't cry for the dead excessively, v'al tanudulo yosrem mikashir. And do not literally, tanudu means literally nod your head. Do not go ahead and nod your head in mourning over too much. Hakeitzah, so what's the shir? Shloshi yamim lebechi, the first 3 days of Shiva are for excessive crying. V'shiva lehespin, the remaining days ultimately of Shiva are for eulogies. U'shloshim legihut letispores. And for 30 days, we have a prohibition on pressing and laundering clothing. Mikan va'ilech, after that, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the most is such a profound statement, I atem rachmanim bo yoser mimeni. After 30 days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, remember, you don't have greater rachmanis, you don't have greater compassion than I do. Meaning that God says, if you think that I don't feel the loss, I feel the loss as well. You're not more compassionate than me, and therefore you have to work on curtailing your external displays of mourning. So also with the Gemara over here is driving at something very profound, that no matter how painful the loss, the halacha requires that at some point in time a person begin to control their emotions and a person begin to control their sense of mourning. Because at a certain point in time, it could be viewed as a lack of acceptance of the Ratzon Hashem, and a lack of acceptance of the Ratzon Hashem is obviously problematic in and of itself. So the Gemara says, "Bachu bachu laholich," literally cry for the one who is going. Am Rav Yehuda laholich below banim. Rav Yehuda says this refers to someone. He's quoting over here the pasuk from Yirmiyo. This refers to someone who died without sons. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi lo azul abe avla ela leman da azul below bani. This is interesting. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi never used to pay a shiva call except to one who died without sons. Tichsev bachu bachu laholich kilo yashuv od urei es eretz molarato. Because he used to quote this pasuk from Yirmiyahu, literally cry for the one who has left, because he will not return anymore and he will not see the land of his birthplace. So also, the idea over here is a person dies without sons. The Gemara says that a person dies with his name is not perpetuated. So because his name is not perpetuated, ultimately again the loss is even more compounded. Rav Huna Amar Zesha Avra Avera V'Shalaba. So Rav Huna says that this pasuk refers to one who committed an Avera and repeated it. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Tameh, and this is Rav Huna according to his reasoning, why? Rav Huna said, once a person committed an Avera and repeated that sin, the halacha is, Hutshralo, the sin becomes permitted to him. So the Gemara says, Hutshralo Sachadaita, is that true? A sin, when you do a sin twice, so a sin becomes permitted. Sounds like a pretty good deal. The Gemara says, Ela ima na'asis lo keheter. Rather, the Gemara says, no, what it means is that when a person sins and then repeats that negative behavior, repetition of negative behavior does what? Causes the act to become like permitted in my eyes. Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi said the following: Avel shlosh yam arishonim, an avel for the first 3 days after the loss. Yira es asmo ki ilu cherev munachas lo bein shtei yirechosav. A person should view. A person should. It's actually interesting. There are two different girsos here. It's either yirechosav or kiseifav. The Mizrach Shas changes it to that for the first 3 days of Shiva, a person should feel as if there's a sword between, Yerechosav means his thighs, Ksefosav means his shoulders. The idea of Bosai is, when a person suffers a loss, they have been dealt, God is dealing with them with Midas Hadin, the divine attribute of justice. And when a person realizes that they've been dealt with justice, that is a very scary thought. A person should realize that they're in the parsha of divine justice and should feel like there's a sword hanging over them. Mishlosha ad Shiva, from Shlosha, from 3 days and on till the end of Shiva. Kilu munachas lo kinegdo. They should feel, Bekaren's office. They should feel as if the divine sword of justice is there in the corner, meaning it's no longer suspended right over me, but it's over there in the corner, I could see it. Mikan veilich, kilu overes kinegdo b'shuk. And from Shiva, presumably till the end of Shloshim, a person should feel as if, again, the sword is accompanying him throughout the marketplace. The idea that the Gemara is trying to express over here is that when a person suffers a loss, they should realize Kadosh Baruch Hu is dealing with them with Midas Hadin, divine attribute of strict justice. And therefore, the Maisa, again, that creates a certain awareness within a person's life. So the Gemara goes, Vayit, V'lo shel noshim li'olam me'akavet. Remember, again, the Mishnah said that we never place a woman's funeral bier in the street out of covet to her. So the Gemara says, Amri Nardoi, the Nardoim said, Lo shanu ella chaya. That is only true for a woman who died during childbirth. Because also, I remember again, a woman dies during childbirth, so there's the potential again that the woman may still bleed even after death, and therefore the mice again, if that blood shows up on the shrouds, that obviously is going to compromise her dignity. However, again, but other women, when they die, we do place their funeral bier in the street, just like men. Rabbi Lazar, says no. Afilu shar noshim. Rabbi Lazar says not true. This applies even to other women, meaning that we don't put the funeral bier of a woman in public out of dignity for the woman. Dichsiv v'atamas sham Miriam, because the pasuk says Miriam died there, v'tikaver sham, and she was buried there. So the Gemara notes the immediacy that she died, she was buried. Samoch l'misa kvura. So the Gemara understands from there that for a woman, we try to limit the amount of time between death and burial itself. And one of the ways in which we cut down on that time is by eliminating the placement of the bier in the street itself. V'amar Rabbi Lazar says af Miriam ben Ashika mesa. Miriam Hanaviyah also died by Neshika. Rabbos, I remember we saw earlier in the Masechta that Neshika refers to death with a kiss, which is the most painless, almost serene way to die. So the Gemara says, Asya Sham Sham Mimoshe, because you make a Gzir Shava of Vatamas Sham. It says Shem by Moshe. It says Shem by Miriam. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu died b'neshika api Hashem, so to Miriam died b'neshika as well. If that's the case, umipnei ma lo ne'emar bo api Hashem. So therefore, why doesn't it say that Miriam also died api Hashem through the mouth of God? Mipnei sheginai hadavar la'omro. So the Gemara says because it almost would have sounded inappropriate to write it, meaning that since HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Torah Shebichsav, because this changes depending on which part of Torah, but at least in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more often referred to in the masculine. So therefore, to have masculine God go ahead and take Miriam's life, Api Hashem, the Gemara felt almost was a certain lack of tznius. However, the Torah tells us in a veiled fashion through the Gzeir Shava that in fact she did die Api Hashem, just like her brother. Am Rabbi Ami, Laman Ismucha Mises Miriam the Parashas Merit Parashas. We'll say once you start talking about the death of Miriam, the Gemara brings up a couple of other ideas. why is it that the death of Miriam is juxtaposed to the section of Paraduma, the red heifer? Lomar lecha, ma Paraduma mechaperes, just like the Paraduma, the red heifer, atones, af misashen shal sadike mechaperes, so to the death of the righteous has the ability to atone as well. Amra Belazar, similarly, says Rabbi Elazar, why is it that the death of Aaron is juxtaposed to the section of the Kohanic vestments? To teach us, first wide line, ma big de kuhuna mechaprin, just like the begadim, the Kohanic vestments have the ability to create kapara. They create kapara, meaning again, we'll say the act of wearing the Kohanic clothing, and the Kohen doing the avoda, creates kapara. Af misasan shal tzadikim mechaperes. So to the death of the righteous also creates kapara for Klal Yisrael. So we'll say, now we get into a very interesting sugya. Tanna Rabbanan, meis pit'om, if somebody dies immediately, very interesting, just dies immediately, so zohi misa chatufa, that is called, chatufa Rabbanan, it literally means grabbed or snatched. That's called the snatched death. Chaloyom echad umeis, if a person was sick for one day and then died, zohi misa dechufa. This is considered to be literally a pushed death. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel Omer, zohi misas magefa. That could be death because of a plague. Shene'emar ben Adam, hinini lokeach mimcha es machmad einecha b'magefa. Because God says, again, I will say to Yechezkel, here, see, man, that I'm going to take that which you love, that which is beloved in your eyes, b'magefa, in a plague. Uksiv, and Yechezkel says, v'adaber ela am baboker, I spoke to the nation in the morning, v'atamas ishti ba'erev, and my wife had already passed away by that night. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu calls it a magefa when a person dies within a day. Shnei yamim, if a person was sick for 2 days, umeis, and died, zohi misa d'chuya, this is a hurried death. Gimel, if a person was sick for 3 days, ga'ara, that is called the death of rebuke. Arba'a, person was sick for 4 days. Nezifa, this is a death of scorn. Chamisha, person was sick for 5 days. Zohi misas kol adam, that's considered to be normative death. And I will say, what's interesting over here, let's just finish the pasuk. Am Rav Chanan, Maikra, so Rav Chanan said, what's the pasuk that says that if you normally get sick, so apparently according to the Gemara, getting sick for 5 days and then dying, that's like the normal course of events. So where do we know that from? Maikra, because the quotes over here, the pasuk from Dvarim, Vayomer, I'm sorry, Hein Karvu Yamecha Lomos. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, behold, or hear, your days have come close to die. So the Gemara says, Hein Chad, Hein is one, Karvu is Trey, is two, Yamecha Trey, and Yamecha is two, Hachamisha, and that gives us a total of five. So the Gemara says, where do we know that Hein means one? Hein Chad, Shechein, Shekein, Beloshon Yevani Korin LaAchas Hein, because again, Abba say in Greek, so Hein ultimately again refers to one. Okay, so Abba say. So what's interesting over there, Marsha comments on this, and he says, Marsha says, I don't know like what the ramifications of this are. Like, what does it mean when it calls, you know, death? So the Marsha himself doesn't seem, at least he says, that he doesn't see what the impact of these different categorizations or classifications of death actually are. As opposed to this next part. Meis b'chamishim shana. Well, say, if a person died at the age of 50, zohi misas kares. This is indicative that a person suffered kares. And I also remember again, kares represents death at the hands of heaven. Now, kares is not. Now, remember, kares is more than just death at the hands of heaven. Kares is death at the hands of heaven. Plus, again, run the risk of losing one's children and certain other associated punishments. Chamishim ushtayim. If a person dies at the age of 52, zehi misaso shel Shmuel haramasi. This is the death of the Navi Shmuel. Shmuel died at 52. Shishin, person dies at the age of 60. Zohi misa bidei shamayim. This is considered to be death at the hands of heaven, which is a step lower than kares. Step lower than kares. Amar Marzutra. So Marzutra said, Amar Kra, Dichsiv, Tavo bekelach elai kever. So he quotes over here, the pasuk from Eof, right? So again, I will say, so the pasuk says, literally, the way we translate literally is, Tava bekelach elei kever, you will come to me in a mature age to the grave. Bekelach begematria, Shisin, Kelach in Gematria, 60. Shisin Avu, Shivim, if a person dies at 70, Seva, that's old age. Shmonim, a person dies at 80, Gvuros, that is the age of strength. Meaning that a person has lived to the age of strength. Tachsiv, Yemeshino, Sinibahem, Shivim, Shana, the days of our years in this world are 70 years. Ve'im Bigvuros, and if we are strong enough to remain living longer, Shmonim Shana, then we live to 80. Amar Rabba says, Mechamishim va'ad shishim shana zoi misas kar. So what's interesting, the earlier on the Gemara says that if a person passes away at 50, so that's indicative of kares. Now the Gemara says, now Rabba comes along and says, between 50 and 60 is kares. I v'hai delo chashavlu. So why didn't we say that before? Mishum kavodo shal shmuel haramasi. Out of respect for Shmuel, because Shmuel died at the age of 52. Now, Rabosei, I want to point out to you, the Marasha says that the fact, and Rabosei, this obviously is, Gemaras like this are very striking, because what does that mean? Every single time a person dies young, let's say 50, it's Kares. So, interesting, the Marasha says something very interesting. The Marasha says the fact that Shmuel died at 52, and Shmuel did not experience Kares, is indicative of the fact that these are not hard and fast rules. What the Gemara is saying over here is that whenever a person dies young, there has to be a certain sense of contemplation by those around that individual as well. Or a person becomes sick when they're young, there has to be a certain amount of contemplation. So a person, chas v'shalom, becomes deathly ill between the ages of 50 and 60, a person has to think about what it is that's happening in their life, what they have or what they have not done. Does it mean that chas v'shalom, if a person becomes deathly ill and ultimately dies, that it's definitely kares? No, because obviously, again, life is not as black and white and that, but yet, also, you know, it's a very interesting balance that we have. On one hand, we know that bad things happen to good people. That's a klal gadol, that there is a tzaddik v'ra'lo. On the other hand, when bad things happen to me, something bad happens to me, I can't bury my head in the sand and just say, oh, it's because I'm such a good person, right? It's because mamish, I am a living example of bad things happening to good people. You can't take such an ostrich approach. If bad things happen, and this is called God in life in general, setbacks happen, a person has to sometimes ask himself, what is the wake-up call? What is happening in my life that has caused this to occur to me? Does it mean that I've done something bad and therefore this is happening? Not necessarily. We don't know why things happen. But the way a Jew responds to negative events is by contemplation. This is very, 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 very important. It doesn't mean that you'll be able to identify what it is you did wrong, but every single setback in life should spark a process of contemplation. How am I living? What am I doing? And is this potentially a wake-up call to perhaps engage in a little bit of course-correcting activity? Rav Yosef, Ki Hava Bar Shisin. Rav Yosef was 60 years old. Listen to this. Avad lehu yamatav l'rabbanan. Literally, he made a yamtiv for the rabbis, which means he made a big kiddush. He made a big kiddush, 60 years old. Why? Amar nafgili mikaris. So we'll say, I don't know exactly what the invitation said. You know, like, I've passed the kares window. You know, so I know now that if I die tomorrow, at least it's not kares. Amarle Abayis. Abayis says to him, "Nehid denafik limar mikaris deshani mikaris deyomim minaf minafik mar." So this is so amazing. Abayis says, "Okay, you got past kares, but you got past kares of years. But have you gotten past kares of days?" You know, we'll say, now what does that mean? Because even past 60 years old is still young. So granted, you've passed the official window of kares. It doesn't mean you're not going to die young. So I don't know how many parties Abayis got invited to, but you know the idea, right? So it doesn't. It's very nice. You pass the window, but you still could die before you're 70. So Amrle. So we'll say, listen to this answer, and this is so profound. Amrle, nakut lecha miha palga biadech. So you know what Rav Yosef responded? Rav Yosef is saying, you know what? I have to at least celebrate what I have. Right. So meaning, you know what? I made it to 60. I made it past the window of Kares. What is the future going to hold you right? I have absolutely no idea. But at least I should celebrate the fact that Baruch Hashem, I've reached an important milestone in life. Rav Huna nach nafshe pit'om. We'll say Rav Huna died suddenly. Now again, he wasn't young. But his death was sudden. Havukadai gi rabbanon. So the rabbis the rabbis were very worried. I will say, remember again, what we said before is that an immediate death, mace pit om, zohi misa chatufa, that's a snatched death. So they were never supposed to say, it also goes with the idea that, remember, from the Gemara's view, sickness before death is, it's going to sound strange, but sickness before death is a little bit of a bracha, because sickness before death indicates, tells a person that the writing is on the wall, and it gives them the opportunity to do tshuva and to get their affairs in order. So when Rav Huna died quickly, died immediately, people were concerned, like, is that somehow a reflection on Rav Huna? So Tanaluhu Zuga Dimehadyov. So there was a group of Talmidei Chachamim from the city of Mahadyov. Lo Shanu Ela Shalohi Gia Legvuros. Aval Gia Legvuros Zohi Misas Neshika. When do we say that immediate death, quick death, could be cause for concern? That's only if a person didn't reach the age of 80. But if a person already reached the age of 80, meaning they've already, Baruch Hashem, lived a complete and full life, and they die quickly, that is not only a cause for concern, but what? It's actually a bracha. It's a bracha. That's called Mesa Beneshika. That's actually called death with the kiss of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No suffering, no difficulty, no protracted issues. A person lived a long life, and then a person was taken. Amar Rava, it's another fascinating statement. Chaye b'nei umizoni, lo b'schus atalya milsa, ela b'mazla atalya milsa. Listen to this. Rava says, life, chai means life, meaning longevity, lifespan. Bani means children. Mizoni means parnasa. Have nothing to do with your merits. Lo b'schus atalya milsa, ela b'mazla atalya milsa. But rather, again, it's all a matter of your mazel. Now, we'll say, so the Marsha again points out, and he says that this is talking about for the umos, all the nations of the world. But for Klal Yisrael, this is not true. Toz also comments on this a little bit, because again, of the concept of Ein Mazel Yisrael, that ultimately, again, we are not given over to the mazalos. The nature and trajectory of our personal and national lives is absolutely rooted in the quality and nature of the actions in which we engage. Daha. Now, we'll say, now, here, the problem with the Marsha is it doesn't sound like from the Gemara, because the Gemara seems to indicate that there's still a Klal Yisrael as well. Daha Rabba v'Rav Chista Tarvai Rabban and Tzadikia. Let's listen to this. Because Rabba and Rav Chista were both righteous men. Mar Matzliva Asimitra. Umar Matzliva Asimitra. I will say both had the power that what? That when the Jewish people were in need of rain, they would daven and rain would come. So both were great tzaddikim. Rav Chista, Chaya, Tishin V'Tartin Shnin. Rav Chista lived till the age of 92. Rabba Chaya Arboin. Rabba died at the age of 40. So Bei Rav Chista, Shisin Hilule, in the home of Rav Chista, they celebrated 60 weddings, or 60 simchas. Bei Rabba, in the house of Rabba, Shisin Tichli, they had 60 levayas. Right, 60 levayas. Bei Rav Chista, Smida Lekalbi Velo Misboi. In the house of Rav Chista, they were so wealthy that they used to give the dogs fine flour. Meaning that they would give the dogs the finest delicacies, and again, it didn't cause any lack in the home. Bei Rabba, Nama Desa'ari Le'inshi V'lo Mishtachach. In the house of Rabba, they were so poor that they couldn't even find barley bread to give to the people. I will say, so what is the Gemara showing over here? That here you have two great people, Rabba and Rav Chista, and yet what? Two dramatically different lives. Two dramatically different lives. Now, I will say, obviously, the way to reconcile this is we know that there are certain things that are absolutely bidei shamayim, absolutely bidei shamayim, and ultimately, again, certainly longevity, children, and parnasa. Remember, these are the three keys. They're going back to our days in the Sechas Tainus. This is the opening daf of Tainus. These are the three keys that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself never hands to an intermediary, but holds on to himself, longevity, children, and parnasa. What the Gemara is saying is that, you know what? There are certain things, there are certain cheshbonos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that are beyond our comprehension. And even though sometimes they don't make sense to us, because we figure to ourselves, we live in a, we very often create a world that is based on the structure of quid pro quo, that I'm doing the right thing, therefore I should be rewarded. The Gemara says, life often doesn't work that way. And you can do everything right, but it does not necessarily mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you everything you want. Why not? Because lemaisa, there are greater cheshbonos. Kadosh Baruch Hu has greater plans that are beyond the sphere of our comprehension. But Amar Rava, Rava said, Hani Tlas Mili, Boy Kami Shmayo. So Rava said like this, there are three things, and this is amazing, there are three things that I asked for from God. Tarti Yahavuli, right? There are two things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to me. Chadalo Yahavuli, one thing he did not. What did I ask for? I said, number one, Chochmasei Dravuna. I wanted to be as wise as Rav Huna, va'osrei drav chisti, the drav chista, right? And I wanted the wealth of Rav Chista, v'yavili. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me both of these. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me great wisdom like Rav Huna, and gave me great wealth like Rav Chista. But listen to this, and v'sunasei drav barav Huna lo yavu. I asked for the humility of Rav barav Huna, but it was not given to me. It was not given to me. So again, the Maharal Chiddush HaGadol's comments on this, he says that what happened? He says because sometimes, again, if a person has the bracha of wisdom and a person has the bracha of wealth, their greatest challenge in life becomes what? Their greatest challenge becomes humility. Right? So the Maharal understands that because he got the first two brachas, he was challenged with the third of not being able to remain fully humble throughout his life. Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good kasha. So the Gemara says, Rav Saurim, Achua de Rava Hava. So I'll say, it's interesting, because Rava had a brother by the name of Rav Saurim. It's changed in the Masorah Sashas with a Samach instead of with a Sin. Okay, Rav Su'urim was the brother of Rava. Listen to this. Hava Yosef Kame de Rava. So Rav Su'urim, the brother of Rava, was sitting before Rava. Chazye de Hava Ka Menamnim. And he saw, now normally, Menamnim normally means like daydreaming. In this context, what it means is Rava was dying. Rava was dying. So his brother, Rav Su'urim, saw that Rava was dying. Amrele, Lema le mar delolitzara. So what's this? Very interesting. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi's Amar le Rava le Rav Saurim. So Rava is dying. His brother's there. So Rava, as he's dying, says to his brother, please tell the Malach HaMaves not to cause me too much pain when he takes my soul. Amar le mar lav shoshvinehu. So Rav Saurim says back to Rava, Rava, are you not a friend of the Malach HaMaves? Meaning that, tell the Malach HaMaves yourself. Not in a mean way, but the idea is you're much greater than I am. So you would have greater sway over the Malach HaMaves. You should tell the Malach HaMaves. What does Rava say? Amar lei, kevan de'imster mazla lo ashkach bi. You know, once your number's up, your luck has run out, right? Once your number's up, meaning once the Malach HaMaves is already coming for you, the Malach HaMaves no longer listens to you. And therefore, Rav Saurim, my brother, I'm asking you to please ask the Malach HaMaves to deal with me gently. Amarle, lischazi limar. So we'll say now, as Rav is about to die, his brother Rav Saurim asks him, will you please appear to me in a dream? Appear to me in a dream, because I want you to tell me what the process of dying, what was it like when the Malach HaMaves took your neshama? So what happened? He's chazile. Amazingly enough, so Rava appeared to his brother Rav Saurim in a dream. So he asked him, so what was it like to die? Amrale havele lamar tsara. So Rav Saurim asked his brother Rava in the dream, tell me, was it painful when you died? Amrale, Rava responded, ki rivda dikusilta. It was like the blood letters needle, like the blood letters lancet, meaning it was like a little prick. It was like a little bit, it was just a little bit of pain. It wasn't painful, just like a little, the prick of a needle. Rava, Haviyasa came to Rav Nachman, that's another story. Rava was sitting before Rav Nachman, Chazi di Kamenamnim, and Rava saw that Rav Nachman was about to die. Amar lei, Lema Limar Dulolitzaron. So you're gonna both say Rav Nachman says to Rava, can you please tell the Malach HaMaves not to cause me pain when I die? Amar lei, to which Rava responded, Mar lav adam chashavu. So are you not an important man, right? You're an important individual. You could tell the Malach HaMavis yourself not to cause you pain. You're supposed to listen to what Nachman responds. Amalei, man chashiv, man safin, man rikia. He says, who is important? Who is awesome? Who is exalted? And we'll say, in other words, again, on the day of death, on the day of death, you lose all of your standing, right? On the day of death, no one is important in front of the Malach HaMavis. Therefore, you, Rava, you have a better chance of getting through to the Malach HaMavis than I do. Amar lei, l'schazi limar. So again, Rava asks Rav Nachman, will you appear to me once you die? Appear to me in a dream and tell me what the process of death was like. So what happened? Ischazi lei, sure enough, Rav Nachman appeared to Rava in a dream after he died. Amar lei, havi lei limar tsara. So Rava asked Rav Nachman, tell me, did you have any pain when you died? Amar lei, ki mishchal b'nisei mechalva. It was like taking a hair from milk. You know, also the same way that if a hair falls into milk, you could pull it out and there's no friction, it just glides out. So Rav Nachman says that's the way death was as well. Death was without any type of stress, without any type of difficulty. It was smooth, it was natural, it was without resistance. But listen to this, we'll say, V'i amar li'akadosh baruch hu, Rav Nachman says, so we'll say, as painless as death was, V'i amar li'akadosh baruch hu, zil bahu alma, Kat havis lo ba'ina. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to ask me to go back to the world and die again, I would tell God absolutely not. Dinafish bi'usase. Because even though death was painless, the fright that I experienced upon seeing the Malach HaMavis when he came for me, I would not want to repeat that fright again. So the Gemara said the following: Rabbi Elazar havaka achal truma. Let's say it's an amazing story. Rabbi Elazar was a kohen. He was eating truma. Ischazi le. The Malach HaMavis appeared to him, and Rabbi said, I guess the Malach HaMavis doesn't stop in to say hello, right? When the Malach HaMavis appears to you, so that is it. So the Malach HaMavis appears to Rabbi Elazar while he's eating truma. So Rabbi Elazar says, well, listen, I'm eating truma, and truma is called kodesh, and you can't take me while I'm eating kodesh. What happened? Chalfale shaita. The Malach HaMavis missed his moment and was unable to take the neshama of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar says, the Malach HaMavis only, whatever this means, the Malach HaMavis only has certain moments in which he could take the neshama. The moment passed because Rabbi Elazar was protected by the sanctity of truma. Rav Sheshes is chazile b'shuka. Rav Sheshes saw the Malach HaMavis in the shuk. Meaning the Malach HaMavis was ready to take his soul right there in the shuk. Amar le, Israch li, let's listen to this. Israch li tlasin yomin v'ahadri l'talmudai. Do me a favor. Give me 30 days. Malach HaMavis, come back in 30 days because I want to review my learning. We'll say, can you imagine this? So here you have Rav Sheshes was, I'm sorry? Did I skip? I'm sorry. Thank you. So Rav Sheshes is chazle b'shuka. Amar le b'shuka ke behema. Thank you. So he said, you're going to take my soul like an animal in the marketplace. So the Gemara says, Isa l'gabi b'isa. So what happened? So he said, come home with me. And apparently Rav Sheshes offered up his soul to the Malach HaMavis, again in the comforts of his own home. Rashi points out over here that he wanted to die on his bed. So again, he died in his bed. Rav Ashi is, thank you. Rav Ashi is chazle b'shuka. Rav Ashi saw the Malach HaMavis in the shuk. Amar le israch li tlasin yomin v'ahadri le talmudoi. Vashi says, Malach HaMavis, give me 30 days so that I can review all of my learning. It's amazing. Rav Ashi wanted to review all of his learning. Why? We'll say, listen to this. This is very profound. We saw this in Pesachim Da'amrisu. Because we'll say, in Olam Habi, you know what they say? Ashrei mi shebalakan v'talmudo biado. We'll say a very important Gemara for us to have. We should take our learning in this world. In Olam Haba, they say, praiseworthy is the one who comes to this place, Olam Haba, v'talmudo biyado, and he has his learning in his hand. He has his learning in his hand. That Rebbe say, when you come to Olam Haba, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to know is, what learning are you coming armed with? So Rav Ashi says, give me 30 days, let me review all of my learning, so I'll be prepared to die. So what happened? B'yom t'las and asa. Okay, so amazing enough, the Malach HaMavis gave into this request. The Malach HaMavis comes back 30 days later. Amar lei, mai kulei hai. Ravashi says, listen, why are you so punctual? What is like the Malach HaMavis Yeka, which I would believe, by the way, right? Is the Malach HaMavis Yeka, right? You come punct at 30 days. You couldn't come day 30, man. You came to the minute, 30 days. You couldn't go ahead and just come, a day later. What's the rush? Bosse, it's such a profound idea. So Michael Lehi, so the Malach HaMavis responded, Kadochka Ragle de Barnosan. Bosse, remember, Ravashi was the head of the yeshiva. The Malach HaMavis says, it's time for Barnosan. Barnosan was another Talmud Chacham. It's time for Barnosan to become the Rosh Yeshiva. And you are delaying, by you delaying death, you are delaying what is supposed to happen. Ve'en malchus nogea bechaverta afilu kimali neima. One monarchy cannot overlap with another monarchy, even a hair's breadth. I will say, you know why this is so profound? This is so profound because, we think that we're supposed to be here forever. We think that we're, but there are things that are supposed to happen. And sometimes we have to make way for other things to happen. It's not pleasant. I don't want to leave this world, but there's a cheshbon for everything. So the Malach HaMavis says, Rav Ashi, I appreciate the fact that you want life. It's beautiful. But please understand, you've done what you're supposed to do in this world. And now you need to step aside. Because the longer you stay here, the longer you delay the next step in progression, the next step in the evolution of the story of the Jewish people. Barnasan is supposed to become the head of the yeshiva, and you have to learn to step aside. It's amazing. Rav Chista lo havi yachelei. Rav said the Malach HaMavis was unable to take the neshama of Rav Chista. Why? De lo hava shasek pumei migirsai. Because Rav said Rav Chista never stopped learning. Apparently, the Malach HaMavis cannot take you. While you are learning, that's gonna go in the next email for Daf Yomi, right? The Malach HaMavis can't take you between 5:45 and 6:45. Rest of the day, all right? That's 5:45 to 6:45. You are safe. So the Gemara says. So Rav Chista again, Malach HaMavis couldn't take him because he was learning. Salik Yosef Va'arz. That's what happened. The Malach HaMavis climbed up. There was a large cedar tree right outside of the window of Rav Chista. He sat on top of the cedar. Yosef Arza de Beirav, this cedar tree right outside of the house of Rav Chista. So what happened? Paka Arza, the Malach HaMavis, he caused the cedar tree to break. Vishasak, Rav Chista, because of the noise, stopped learning for just a moment. Vyachile, and the Malach HaMavis was able to go in and take his soul. Reb Chia, lo havi matzei lemikravile. Reb Chia, it's amazing. Again, the Malach HaMavis was unable, literally, to get close to him. Because Reb Chia was constantly learning, constantly engaged in Torah and mitzvahs. So the Malach HaMavis was unable to take his neshama. What did the Malach HaMavis do? Yomachad idmi leka'anya. One day the Malach HaMavis disguised himself as a pauper. Asa tarif abava. He knocked on the door. Amrale apikli rifta. And he said, can I have some bread? Afikule. They gave him a loaf of bread. Amrale. So this is the Malach HaMavis says this to Reb Chia. Amrale. Valav kamerachi mar a'anya ahugavra a'anya. Ahugavra amai lo kamerachi. So Malach HaMavis says to Reb Chia, you have so much compassion upon the poor. Why don't you have compassion upon me? Right? Meaning, I'm just trying to do my job. I'm trying to do my shlichus. I'm trying to do what Kadosh Baruch Hu asked of me. If I ask you for bread, you give me. But I've been asking for your neshama for who knows how long, and you have no rachmanas on me. Galilei, the Malach HaMavis revealed himself. Achvilei shuta denura. He showed, he created a pillar of fire. I guess you can't, it's not just enough to say the Malach HaMavis, you have to do something. Right? So he went ahead and he literally produced a pillar of fire. So what's it, Rav Chia saw this? Amtzilei nafshei. And Rav Chia gave over his neshama to the Malach HaMavis. I will say that again. So this is just amazing. It's also just, the Malach HaMavis says, look, I also have things I have to do. I'm not here because I enjoy this. I'm here because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to do this. You have to have compassion on me as well. Rav Chia, perhaps realizing what we said before, realized that his time had come. It was time for him to leave this world. Willingly gave over his neshama to the Malach HaMavis. Well, so let's begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Nashe b'mayim ma'onos, avalom mitab. Boss, I said, women on Chalamoid, we'll do the Mishnah today and we'll begin with the Gemara. So women on Chalamoid, we're going to define all of these terms in the Gemara. Ma'anos, they do this thing called ma'ane avalom etapchos. Etapchos literally means clap. We'll see what it means in the Gemara. B'Shmuel says hasmuchos lamita. Those who are next to the funeral bier, so metapchos are able to be to do metapchos, are able to do this clapping. But these are all different forms of mourning, which the Gemara will define. But Roshei Chadashim on Rosh Chodesh, Roshei Chadashim b'Chanukah u'Purim ma'anos u'betapchos. On Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah and Purim, meaning more minor holidays, the women are able to be ma'anos and metapchos. Bazeh u'bazeh lo mekononos. However, on both these days, on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, certainly Chol HaMoed, lo mekononos. They do not do this thing called kino, which we'll discuss. Nikbar ames, once the dead has been buried, lo ma'anos v'lo metapchos. They may not go ahead and do this ma'ana lo metapchos, ezo inui. So once the Gemara defines the terms, what is this? What is this ma'anos? What is this inui? Shekulon onos ka'achos. So inui, ma'anos, is when they would cry out in unison. They would all cry out together. They would say certain words, certain psukim. They'd all cry out together. What is a kina? Kina, sha'achas medaberes v'kulon onos achares. Responsive. So one woman calls out, and the rest respond. Shina emar, v'la meidna b'noseichem nehi, v'isha ru'usa kina. Avalo osid lovo, but Rabosa, in the future, when Mashiach comes, who omer, bila hamaves le'netzach, death will be swallowed up forever. Umacha Hashem Elokim dima mi'alka panamecha. The Shbaruch Hu will go ahead and wipe every tear from every single face. And mostly, I'll just point out to you, if you take a quick look at Tosas and what this will really end, Tosas bila hamaves. So why is this here? Why is that last phrase there? Tosas says, kedei l'sayim bedavar hatov, in order to end off with something nice, mishum demoed katan hu sof seder moed, because moed katan is the end of the order moed, even though what? We also add in Chagiga. But as we will see again, originally Moed Katan was really the end of Seder Moed. O mehay tana metameis haraf Rabbi Yaakov mi Orleans had the aschel Seder Nashim betes svav Nashim afa gav the aschel b'paranusa lo maschil kid. I'm sorry, the aschel paranusa lo maschil kid. Amir meyish nochlin v'tileis the sumchin paranus Moed Katan eitz paranus the ivamus the sumchin paranus paranusa umav nechamtim nechamtim. Boss, listen to this. So Tos also points out. Remember, if the first masechta and Seder Nashim, which is the next Seder we begin, is Yevamos. Yevamos begins with the mitzvah of Yibum. Yibum only occurs if what? If there's death. So it's almost like what's happening over here is Moed Katan is death, Yevamos is death. In order to add in a little bit of optimism in between death and death, we end off with this pasuk of what? Bila hamaves lanetzach. That one day, although we're preoccupied with death now, one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu will indeed swallow up death, and happiness ultimately again will blanket the earth. Again, obviously, it's a little bit different for us because we have Chagiga inserted in here as well. We'll pick up with this Gemara Meretz Hashem tomorrow.